Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, you know how I feel about Mondays anyway, right? I don't have to explain that. So you can probably, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to figure out how I feel about a Monday where I lost an hour of sleep. Okay, here we go. Are we an hour earlier than usual, Moneypenny? I'm still trying to figure this deal out. Here we go, getting underway with yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loudmouth of the South, the winner for the 56th consecutive year of broadcasting's coveted, even revered, Bobby Mack Award. It is yours truly, Bob and the Bobettes, getting underway here on the Spring Forward Monday. Yours truly in the air chair. Of course, the Bobettes are here. Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass, pushing the buttons, finishing her lunch, screening the calls, and making sure the trains run on time. And, of course, little Annie back in the news center, making sure you are up to date with breaking news. So, it is a fun crew, and you are a part of it because you are right there on the other side of the speaker. So I don't know how you feel about springing forward and falling back and all this stuff. It's making me nauseous. I need some Dramamine to keep up with all the clocks going back. Thank goodness the VCR still resets itself automatically. If your sleep was hit hard by DST, Daylight Saving Time, when we lost an hour, you want to steal it back. Did you know today is National Napping Day? Yeah. As if you needed an excuse when your boss catches you kind of chin on your chest at your desk. But if you aren't feeling a little more tired than usual today, this might be why. A new study, there's always a new study, isn't there? A new study looked at how we're affected by the changes in our sleep pattern. And it might depend on how good of a sleeper you are in general. 56% of people who describe themselves as poor sleepers said that shifting their bedtime by an hour or more makes them feel worse the next day. Only 28% of excellent sleepers, as they describe themselves, said the same thing. 47%, slightly less than half of poor sleepers, also said it affects them emotionally, compared to just 16% of excellent sleepers. 46% of poor sleepers said it makes them less productive, compared to just 16% of excellent sleepers. By the way, a separate study recently found that taking a 50-minute nap each day can lower your blood pressure as much as a low-dose, high blood pressure medication. So, there you go. All right. Now, we put together a list of the top things you didn't know about daylight savings time. And by the way, President Trump, I saw a story today. President Trump says he would be perfectly okay with staying on DST all the time. I knew there was a reason I like that guy, and that's merely another one. Of course, it would take an act of Congress. You know what that involves. Since we started DST yesterday, a good opportunity for us here on the Bobby Mack Show. So we compile this list, the top things you didn't know about daylight savings time. Here we go. Top things you didn't know about DST. It's the most useless day on the United States calendar that doesn't involve getting weather predictions from a rodent. Yeah. The concept as we know it was invented in 1905 by Satan. Could it be Satan? It's also called spring forward, kind of like my tummy when I loosen my belt. When the clocks go ahead and we have an hour more of daylight, studies show you're less likely to be mugged, robbed, or bitten by a vampire. Yeah, so you got that going for you. The hour that most people lose is the one they were supposed to be spending in church. Is that you? DST was first used in Germany so they could save fuel during World War I. So, yeah, daylight savings time is just as evil as you thought it was. Did I mention it decreases your chances of being mugged? I failed to point out, by the way, decreases your chances of being mugged, assuming, of course, that you are not living in Chicago. If you are, you're still in big trouble. If you're R. Kelly, it is daylight slaving time. It's not observed in Arizona because everybody in that state has already sold their clocks for meth. And yes, it is true. You're legally allowed to choke someone who says daylight savings time because there's no S on you. It's not known that people who can't handle the 1 hour time change also have difficulty changing light bulbs and getting straws into juice boxes. Okay. And it raises the risk of heart attacks by 25% and raises the risk of nap attacks by 75%. So just a few statistics. Maybe it was DST that was responsible for this. This story from Toulouse, as in Lautrec, Toulouse, France. The incredulous air traffic controller had to double-check what the desperate passenger said she left behind when the pilot radioed in requesting to return to the airport. The pilot saying to the ATC, the air traffic controller, "We told you." A passenger left her baby in the terminal and refuses to continue the flight. Jeez. This has got to be more than DST. This is just a plain old stupidity. According to Gulf News, the Saudi Airlines flight SV382 from Jeddah in Dubai to Kuala Lumpur, Indonesia, had already taken off when the passenger alerted the crew. By the way, we need to go back to the airport. I've forgotten something. Really? Is it important? Well, yeah, you might say, well, what did you forget? My baby. My baby! The bizarre request caught air traffic officials off guard. No kidding! As they scrambled to figure out whether leaving a baby behind constituted an emergency, according to airline protocols, which are naturally strict on the criteria for turning flights around. May God be with us. Can we come back or what? The pilot says in the recording. The operator can be heard asking a colleague about the protocol. Hey, this flight is requesting to come back. A passenger forgot her baby in the waiting area. The poor thing. The operator then asked the pilot to confirm again the reason for the turnaround. The pilot was overheard speaking, "We told you." A passenger left her baby in the terminal and refuses to continue the flight. Okay, head back to the gate. This is a totally new one for us. I'm sure the captain was saying the same thing. Saudi Arabian Airlines has not responded to a request for comment at the time of publication. Radar tracking sites show the usually punctual overnight Saturday flight delayed by around 45 minutes. And this isn't the first time a forgetful parent has left their child at the airport. an Israeli couple left their three-year-old daughter at the airport in April 2008 when they lost her in a last-minute dash for their flight. The couple was traveling with five children on one of the busiest days of the year from Ben-Gurion Airport. Late for the flight, they dashed to the gate and somehow lost their daughter, who was found by airport police wandering around the airport. By the time they'd alerted airline staff, however, the plane had already taken off, with the couple apparently unaware that one of their five was missing until 40 minutes into the flight, when the flight attendants informed them, "Hey, one of your kids is still at the airport." In December last year, it wasn't something a passenger left behind, but something the airline had accidentally left on board, which caused a Southwest flight to make a U-turn back to Seattle. A human heart had been, this is like airplane, had been loaded onto the plane from the previous flight, destined for a hospital in Seattle, but it wasn't unloaded, staying aboard the plane that now became an evening flight to Dallas. Plane got over 500 miles before the pilot turned back for the airport with the express purpose of returning their heart, with other passengers in tow so it could get to the hospital. Wow. Yeah. These are a few of the reasons why I am not a big fan of commercial flying anymore. Wow. This is like, it's like Home Alone, you know? Once again, life imitates art. If you call those movies art. 17 after 3 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back here on Monday. Yeah, I think about my late friend Buckwheat, B.W. Stevenson, who wrote Shambhala, and also had a big hit with the original version of My Maria. 22 after 3 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Bob, not to worry, get Moneypenny to put the straw in your drink box for you. See, why didn't I think of that? Bobby, I feel for you losing that hour. I lost that hour, and my start time for daily work was moved up 3 hours earlier. Yeah. More coffee, please. On the upside, once again, I get to enjoy your show 5 days a week. Hey, then, small price to pay. Bobby, would you like to take a selfie with a jaguar? No, thanks. I like having both arms just the way they are. What is this compulsion, this egomaniacal drive, this narcissistic quest to place yourself in as much danger as possible while snapping a photo of yourself on your smartphone? At least this woman said, "Hey, you know, my bad. It's on me. Stupid. Shouldn't have done it." Bobby, if President Trump would have said he didn't like DST, he'd have a superb opportunity to change it permanently through an act of Congress, laugh out loud. Maybe some reverse psychology could be a new tactic for our president. He does from time to time, you know, kind of put a little English on it, as they say, throw him a slider. Bobby, whether it's an hour early or an hour later, DST is a complete waste of time. Gotcha. Bobby, they need to make a decision between spring forward and fall back and stick to one or the other. Bobby, to heck with DST. I like EST. You know, I'm okay with that too, but I'm with the previous texter. One or the other, all right? Bobby, that was what, 2 weeks of daylight savings? I must be getting old. That means Christmas is tomorrow. No, 4th of July is tomorrow. Christmas is next week. Bob, perfect example, government logic. Instead of having farmers changing their working hours, let's change the definition of time. Happy Daylight Saving Day. Bobby, so it rained for months, nonstop. We changed the time. The rain stopped. Why didn't we change the time a month ago? Yeah, too late now. Bobby, losing 1 hour of sleep could have been worse. I had to work all weekend. Boo. Bobby, I could do a lot with the bleep hour they keep bleeping with. There's no reason for the time change. Load of bleep created by, wait a minute, can I say this? No, created by, humans. From Zenny. LMAO. Thanks, Zenny. President says he's okay with permanent DST. President Trump apparently tired of switching clocks, as everyone else is, coming off a universally sleep-deprived weekend during which America set our clocks to spring forward an hour. The president tweeted that he's okay with making DST permanent. In other words, enough with the clock changing. The president's tweet came, appropriately, at the start of 2019's Daylight Savings Time, which begins each year in its latest iteration. That is, they keep changing when they're doing it, too. Which begins each year on the second Sunday in March at 2 in the morning. Changing the clocks forward means, of course, everybody loses an hour of sleep. The law first established during World War I as a way of conserving fuel needed for war industries and of extending the working day, according to the Library of Congress. But it was only temporary. The law was repealed as soon as the war was over. But here comes WW2, and on January 20th, 1942, Congress reestablishes daylight saving time. More than 20 years later, 1966, former President Lyndon B. Johnson signed into law the Uniform Time Act, declaring daylight saving time a policy of the U.S. and establishing a uniform start and ending times within standard time zones. The policy is regulated by the DOT, the Department of Transportation. Not all states participate. Hawaii, most of Arizona, and several U.S. territories, including American Samoa, Guam. Congressman Hank Johnson was afraid that if Guam went on daylight savings time, it might tip over, so they're not part of it. Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands do not observe DST. The president, of course, would have to work with Congress. Florida Senator Marco Rubio and Rick Scott filed a bill last week to extend DST for the entire year, called the Sunshine Protection Act. The Florida legislature voted last year to adopt the measure, but in order for it to take effect, Congress must change the federal law and the president must sign it. And apparently he would. His tweet this morning signaling that if it makes it to his desk, he would sign on to it. The topic has caused a nationwide debate since its inception, many arguing the policy is unnecessary and disturbs sleep patterns. Supporters say it saves energy because people tend to spend more time outside when it's lighter later in the day. The DOT claims it also saves lives and prevents traffic injuries because, of course, visibility is better later in the day. So there you go. There's the latest on that. We'll dispense with it for another few months. In on the text line, Bob, I don't have a problem with time adjustments. I look at it like paying back the hour I was given in the fall. However, DST, like taxes, has an end game, but it just goes on and on. Bobby, every 6 months, my circadian rhythm is upset for 5 months. Yeah, some people have more trouble adjusting to it than others. Bob, the sleep study also determined that a two Bloody Mary lunch radically reduced the urge to strangle your coworkers. I'm for it. I'm for both. Not strangling your coworkers and two Bloody Mary lunch. Bob, DST all the way. I love it. Light later. Bob, doesn't matter to me. I work on GMT UTC. There you go. Greenwich Mean Time. Bob, how about moving the clock half an hour and leaving it alone? Bob seems like way too much hysteria over something that happens only twice a year, with one actually giving us one more hour of sleep. Yeah, but they took it away first. Bobby, don't worry. Rain will be here in an hour or so. Time change didn't stop it. Bob, occasional cortex alert. Socialist paradise, Venezuela, leading the world in energy-saving programs, that is, blackouts, weight control, starvation, and population control. Venezuelans running screaming over the border into Colombia. Bob, so much for the safety factor. There were over 12 wrecks this morning. Gotcha. Bobby, I'm reminded of the line from Count Rugan in The Princess Bride. I have just sucked away an hour of your life. Tell me, how do you feel? 3:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. And he's ready to go in the news center. When we come back, the president has been doing a lot more than just dealing with his opinion of DST and what he'd do about it. We'll update you, and we'll also have our occasional cortex update as well. That's all on the way here on Monday. Welcome back. Ingalls Advantage talk line number for you to join me on the show today, 800-347-1063. And please remember, well, actually tell Moneypenny, you're calling about. Talk one more thing on DST. You thought we had it rough. Texter says, Bobby, workers in England have spent the last 20-plus hours moving the stones at Stonehenge up 1 hour. I did not know that. Did you know that, Moneypenny? No, neither one of us were aware of that. 22 before 4, free speech advocates say President Trump's executive order, and you may not have even heard about this because the media, naturally, you know, it's if it doesn't fit the framework of the story they want to advance, you know, they just ignore it, don't bother to tell you about it. Free speech advocates say that President Trump's executive order to promote free speech at universities could work if the administration enforces it through research contracts awarded to these schools. Anybody say climate change? You want to watch climate change disappear in a heartbeat. Let the government funding for all their studies go away. Let NOAA have their budget cut for climate change studies and watch what happens. I'm a fan, said Rick Hess, an education expert at the conservative AEI, that's the American Enterprise Institute. Hess noted that universities get roughly $40 billion in research funds each year, a point of leverage for the Trump administration, which could easily add language regulating university treatment of speakers into existing contracts. Now, what's pathetic is that campi across America are supposed to be bastions of learning. Yeah, you have logic classes. You have debate over issues. You argue positions and arrive at a conclusion. Nope. Nope. Because even though they claim to believe in diversity, the only diversity they believe in is if your opinion agrees with theirs. And what's pathetic is that it would take this kind of action to make universities what should be their role to begin with, to make their students think. The administration has not released text for the executive order, making it a matter of speculation how it will work. The president announced the order the end of last week at CPAC, saying only that it would require universities to support free speech if they wanted to continue receiving federal research dollars. Federal agencies routinely give universities monies to perform research for them as subcontractors. Research dollars come with contract obligations, and a free speech requirement would merely be an addendum. Hess said that if the Trump executive order required federal agencies to stipulate in their research contracts with universities that the institution must uphold free speech, which would allow conservatives, of course, to speak on campus without fear of being sucker punched in the face, as the guy was at Stanford a week or 10 days ago, The order would only be making explicit what is already an implicit understanding between agencies and universities. Federal agencies have a range of options for enforcing research funding rules, including withholding payments, terminating the contract, putting the entity on a suspension list for future contracts, or even suing for violation of the rules. The president could decide in his executive order to either dictate how federal agencies will enforce a free speech requirement or delegate the specifics to federal agencies to determine the best way to enforce the rule. Now, you know as well as I do, if the latter path is taken, then nothing will change because these federal agencies are still staffed with progressive Obama-supporting true believers, Hillary-supporting true believers, who think it's perfectly fine for conservative speech to be censored on college campuses across America. Censored to the point where that guy who was campaigning, trying to recruit for conservatives on the campus of Stanford, ended up getting popped in the face. That guy's now been arrested and charged, by the way. Adam Kissel, visiting scholar at the American University Center for Innovation, former VP at the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, an organization that opposes campus censorship, agreed that an executive order could be effective even if the order does the minimum. It will dramatically change incentives for universities to finally abolish their speech codes, freeing millions of students and faculty members across the entire political spectrum. FIRE, F-I-R-E, which monitors universities and tracks when they disinvite speakers because of controversy, found that almost a third of universities last year maintained speech codes that clearly and substantially restrict freedom of speech. FIRE's report concluded another nearly 60% of universities had policies vague enough to suppress constitutionally protected speech. University of California Berkeley president Janet Napolitano. Anybody remember her stance on Bill of Rights? Just ask Elian Gonzalez, right? Janet Napolitano spoke out against the proposed executive order, saying it was superfluous. Free speech is a fundamental value of the University of California. What? In what universe do conservatives feel unchallenged and unthreatened on the campus of Cal Berkeley? God. But, of course, you know, they're progressives. They're pure as a driven snow. Right. Quarter before four here on the Bobby Mac Show. Quick break here and then be right back with more as we roll on here on Monday. Great to have you along. It is kind of overcast and clouding up again. Is it supposed to rain this afternoon, Moneypenny? Yeah, knock on wood. Right.
No, yes, it is.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we got a chance. Yeah, a chance of getting some sprinkles. Of course, hasn't rained in 4 or 5 minutes. Moneypenny says 2 hours. Hadn't rained in 2 hours. Bobby, on the text line, where's the ACLU come down on free speech and the Second Amendment? Depends on the issue. Oh, yeah, right. Sorry. I said Janet Napolitano with the Elian Gonzalez. That was Janet Reno. But, you know, they're interchangeable parts. Bobby, how about them Tar Heels? Uh-huh. Oh, they had me biting my fingernails late when they kept shooting threes against the Dukies in the last 4 minutes and kept missing them. But they hung on 79-70. Usually we wait for the rubber game, you know, in the ACC tournament, because typically we win on the Dukies campus and they win in the Dean Dome. But this year, it might have been different if they'd had the big guy, you know, but they didn't. And, you know, you play who you've got. So Heels beat them twice and are the number two seed now in the ACC tournament. Bob, they want visual diversity. Look different, sound the same. Yeah, I've said that's their definition. of the new Green New Deal society. Everybody looks different, but they all think the same. Bobby, why don't we just switch to Zulu time? Yeah, GMT. Well, one texter said he already was. Bob, AOC is afraid year-round DST will be too taxing on the sun. Well, it already is taxing on the sun. We had no solar flares, zero in February. Speaking of AOC, let's get our update in here, shall we? Yeah, she was a busy gal over the weekend. Yeah, she was, you know, there was a time when South by Southwest was kind of a music fest and a techie fest. And now, you know, because there's so many of those people that are involved in those particular genres are believers, Medicare for all, free education for all the rest. Green New Deal. Oh, yeah. Moderates at South by Southwest in Austin calling their views misplaced as she defended her progressive politics in a room full of supporters. Yeah, boy, they were thrilled she was there. She's the answer. You know, she's the future. Jeez. Quote, moderate is not a stance. It's just an attitude towards life of like, meh, she said during an interview with the senior politics editor for The Intercept. I don't even know what. Have you ever heard of The Intercept? Me either. We've become so cynical that we view meh or eh. We view cynicism as an intellectually superior attitude, and we view ambition as youthful naivete when the greatest things we have ever accomplished as a society have been ambitious acts of visions, and the meh is just worship now for what? What in the world is she talking about? She's talking about the greatest things we've ever accomplished. Like what? Like Edison, who, by the way, was a capitalist. The self-declared Democrat socialist also criticized the treatment of minorities throughout American history, from Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal, which he claimed was racist, to Ronald Reagan's policies, which she said pitted white working class people against minorities, quote, in order to screw over all working-class Americans, particularly African-Americans and Hispanics. So says the brilliant philosopher who 6 months ago was going, do you want an olive in that martini or an onion? So you think about this image of welfare queens, and what he was really trying to talk about was this, like, really resentful vision of essentially black women who were doing nothing, that were sucks on our country. So you think about this image of welfare queens, and it's this whole tragedy of the commons type of thinking, where it's like, because this one specific group of people that you were already kind of subconsciously primed to resent, oh, she can get inside everybody's head. She knows what we're thinking. You're subconsciously primed to resent these people. You give them a different reason that's not explicit racism, but still rooted in a racist caricature. I see. So trying to help poor people is a racist caricature. Other topics occasional cortex discussed included the Green New Deal and capitalism, which she said could not be redeemed because it puts profit above everything else. When we talk about ideas like democratic socialism, it means putting democracy and society first instead of capital first. It doesn't mean that an actual concept of capitalistic society should be abolished. This woman just goes around in circles. She makes absolutely no sense. It means we prioritize profit and the accumulation of money above all else, and we seek it at any human and any environmental cost. Well, I hesitate to point this out to the economics graduate. She has an economics degree and believes in socialism, which, as I said the other day, is kind of like going to med school and then believing in faith healing. But, you know, don't confuse her with facts. Okay? Don't do that. Hour number two of the Bobby Mack Show is on the way next here on WORD.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.